Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
Yeah, this decision to be able to help my friend by donating the kidney, thankfully didn't like pause my life, but it helped me to focus in like, okay, these are the things that I have right now. And I'm gonna focus in on this. I'm gonna help my friend. I'm gonna serve these students, and I'm gonna work my tail off until we get there.
When we pay attention, we will find that we are surrounded by miracles. Miracles which happen each day. In this episode of the Waco Experience, an American Story, Nathan Masters shares his remarkable journey to Waco. You will hear it was a podcast produced by a church in this community which nurtured his new faith and drew him to this town. Nathan was our guide at the Magnolia Castle tour. As we progressed through the rooms, I learned of the interesting history of the building, the previous owners, and how it was renovated and restored. The other guests on the tour, as well as my wife and I, asked Nathan about his life, what brought him to Waco, as he met Chip and Joe. What I heard made me believe his was the kind of story I wanted to share on this radio show, and asked if he would be willing to be a guest. And yes, you heard him correctly. Nathan chose to donate a kidney to a coworker. What I thought I knew about donating an organ to save a life was all wrong. I learned much from this man in our conversation. He is living out his faith each day. In the New Testament book of James, we read, "My friends, what good is it to say you have faith when you don't do anything to show you really do have faith? Faith that doesn't lead us to do good deeds is all alone and dead." You will be inspired by Nathan's story, a man choosing to make a living sacrifice to demonstrate the love God has for each of us. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors: White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, pergola, or maybe you're ready to build that custom home. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Republic Laser Therapy. Emma Gaskin was facing a debilitating back injury. She was told surgery was her only option. But the truth is, there was another solution. Now, Emma's mission is to bring drug-free pain relief to those who need it most. Call Emma today at 254-433-7790. Learn more and book a complimentary consultation at republiclasertherapy.com. Ray's Automotive. Cars are complicated machines, and we depend on them every day. Ray makes it easy to keep your car in top condition. When my car needed service, I called Ray. He and his team of certified technicians demonstrate Christian values in business. Call 254-495-7810 or get a quote online at fixmycarray.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend JB James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality. Smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets are available for immediate delivery. Call 254-744-0938 and visit the website qualitycabinetstx.com. D. Scott here, back at the Baylor Club. We're on the patio overlooking the Baylor campus, Brazos River. Just a beautiful day. And they've left the score on the big screen there from Baylor's win this last weekend. So that's pretty cool. I'm with Nathan Masters, and we're going to be talking about his life, his journey, and what's going on for him in Waco. We met when he was giving us a tour over at the Magnolia Castle. This is one of those things that I had promised my wife that we would take a tour over there. And so it was a beautiful day here, late summer, early fall, not so hot, good time to get out. Our tour guide, very knowledgeable, very encouraging, very uplifting, but we had a chance to talk a little bit about his life. I said, Nathan, we have got to have you on the Waco Experience and American Story because your life can be inspirational to other folks. I believe that it is right now. We're going to talk about the fact that you donated a kidney, but let's let people find out about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
So, Nathan, tell us what is going on in your world right now. What are you involved in? What are you doing?
At this point in my life, I am a tour guide, or as we like to say, a guest host experience for Magnolia and our experience team. I've been giving tours for a year and a half now. I'm super involved with my church. At my local church, I get to serve in the youth ministry. I serve with sixth graders currently, and I'm also really involved in our missions department. I'm currently participating in a program that our church does called Go Group, which is a 9-month training / discerning process for those who are thinking about going overseas. That's a whole can of worms, so we can talk about that in a little bit. But currently, I am participating in that. Think about that like 15 hours. It's like an internship, part-time job on top of my current job of giving tours at the castle and at the silos.
You didn't grow up in Waco.
No, I forgot to say that. I am from Asheville, North Carolina. I was born and raised there, and I moved to Waco when I was 20.
What brought you to Waco?
Essentially, what you need to know here, I came to know Jesus at the age of 18. That was the end of my senior year of high school. That first year following Jesus, a friend of mine introduced me to a podcast, which led me to actually a rabbit hole and another podcast, which was the current church I'm at. And so I would just listen for fun on my way to school because I was in college at the time. So I would commute to school and back and I would listen for fun. Fast forward a year, it's fall of 2020 and I am doing what I usually do and I'm listening. I felt like God was like, hey, what if you moved to Waco? And just a random thought in my mind. And I was like, what? I have never moved anywhere in my life, let alone halfway across the country. Asheville to Waco is a 20-hour car ride. I was just like, I've never thought about moving, period, let alone to Texas. It's just really random. And so I told some friends and they were like, hey, you should think about doing that. That sounds really cool.
So you had confirmation from friends.
Yeah. Community around me was like, you got to do it. And then eventually I had a friend. I was really like hesitant. And he essentially told me to poop or get off the pot, if you will. And I was like, okay, I'll set up a trip. And so came to visit March of 2021. Made some friends that week and told them, hey, I would love to move here. If you know anyone needs a roommate, let me know. And I got a text a month later from a friend. Hey, I need a roommate. You want to move down? And so I moved to Waco August of 2021.
So this podcast was from the church here in Waco.
Yes.
And you got involved with that church?
Yes.
So tell us what the podcast is and what the church is.
Yeah. So the church I go to is called Harris Creek Baptist Church. They also have a podcast called Becoming Something. That's for 20s and 30s who are trying to use their life in a way that honors Jesus. I would listen to that, listen to their sermons, and it was super helpful for me in the beginning stages of my faith. The church has just been instrumental in pointing me to Jesus first and teaching me what the scripture says about how we handle conflict, healing, understanding who God is, and how do we share that with others? I can't tell you the growth I've seen in my life from when I first came to Waco to now through the local church and not just Harris Creek, but also like the Big C church in Waco. I have friends from all kinds of different churches here. And one thing that makes Waco super unique from all of the other cities I've lived in,
we'll take it.
Yeah. Is the unity of churches here. For the most part, everyone loves each other, is supportive, and just wants to help the city. And it's been so cool to see. Because if you look back of the history of Waco, there's just been a lot of tragedy and there's been a lot of hardship. And so to see at this point in October 7th, 2025, how the church has really bolstered this city, it's been really fun to see.
So I'm just thinking about the church has this podcast and you're listening to it. And then through this, God decides to give you a call, touch you on the shoulder, say, Nathan, I want you to go to Waco.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend said, sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Family?
This was one of many crazy things I would tell them that I will do. Yeah, family initially was like, are you sure? But over time, they're like, hey, like, we love you. We support you. We want what's best for you. And if you think this is it, go for it. And so I was like, awesome, sweet, thank you.
You made a pretty quick transition.
Yes.
Came here. We did the same thing. We were visiting in April, decided to move here, came for a visit in June and September. We were living here. So we made a quick transition. And my friend and mentor, advisor, he had gone through a similar transition where he was called from Oregon to Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he said, between him and his wife, it took 3 years. And so when I was telling him, I believe God is calling me to Waco, he said, do it quick. If you're going to do it, then make it quick. You made a quick transition during COVID's complexities.
Sure.
How did that affect, or did it affect you at all?
For the most part, not particularly. Whenever I moved here, the first 2 years of living in Waco, I was a junior in college. I did not go to Baylor, unfortunately. I did Appalachian State online, rural NEARS. So I was doing school online. I worked at Magnolia and their bakery, so Silos Baking Co. And then I eventually, towards the end of my junior year, started interning for Harris Creek's Youth Ministry. I'm doing all of those things. And while working at Silos Baking Co., there was some difficulties with the COVID restrictions because the COVID numbers were actually growing really high in Waco in that fall 2021. So we had to navigate that. But other than that, that was pretty much the most difficult thing that we had. Everything else was super great.
So you came to Waco. You started working at the bakery.
Yes.
We mentioned to people as we started this show, you donated a kidney.
That I did.
All right. Let's get in. Let's get the details about that. Because that captured my attention when we were talking at the castle.
Yeah. So this started at the bakery. I was in my second year there. So it's my senior year at this point. And I would typically work the mornings into the early afternoons. I had a coworker. Her name is Ashley. And we would open every morning together. And we would talk life. We would talk Marvel movies, music, anything that we could really talk about. And we noticed over time that she would be really tired all the time. And eventually she told us that she was experiencing kidney failure. And at the time, this was 2 years ago, so Ashley would have been 26. So we're like, oh man, like, okay, yeah, let us know whatever we can do for you. And as time progressed, I asked her, hey, is anybody helping you out? And she's like, I have a couple people that have talked about it, but nothing, no forward momentum yet. And I was just like, can I help you out? And what was going through my mind at the time was there's a clear need right here. I don't know how I can meet it, but I want to. I want to help as best as I can. And so I started going through the process. And around this time, I had actually been accepted to start working at Harris Creek that upcoming fall for what they call their residency program, which is similar to the other thing that I'm currently doing, but slightly different. I got that and I started going through the process of what it would look like to donate, filled out the paperwork online, did some blood test, and scooted into the fall of 2023. I had to collect a sample of urine because that's what they need to test to make sure your kidneys are functioning right. And you're supposed to keep it refrigerated. Did that. But whenever I was trying to transport it to the lab, I was told to go one place. They told me, hey, go to this other place, go to this other place. And by the time I got it to them, the sample was bad. And I did not do a great job on the back half communicating with them, like, hey, what else do I need to do? And then I got to the end of that 9 months and I started applying for youth pastor jobs. We'll talk about how I got to that passion here in a little bit, but I was focused on this and I'm traveling everywhere. I'm going Arkansas, Houston, Florida, Savannah, Georgia. I'm going everywhere.
Going everywhere for?
Trying to find a youth pastor.
Trying to find a youth job.
Yeah. And okay. At this point, everyone's telling me no, and I'm really discouraged. I'm like, oh man, like I know I'm very young at the time, but like I still have this passion to work with students. And one day I was back home driving down the road and I got a text from Ashley, and we were stopped at a red light just to make sure. I saw a text from her and it felt like God just like smacked me up the side of the head and was just like, hey, remember that thing you said you'd do? You should probably do that. And so in that, I was not being faithful to what I told Ashley I would do, but God was being faithful to her. And so despite my selfishness, we can call it straight up, God was still wanted to use me and still was going to guide me to where I needed to be so I could help my friend. And so that September, this is September of 2024 now, I start the process again, get all the things that we need to get done. And October, I'm in San Antonio because that's the hospital she chose to do the surgery. They told me, hey, it should be happening in the next 3 to 6 months. We'll give you a call the month prior. Until then, well, just be waiting. And so I'm working at my tour job. At this point, I'm helping out with 12th grade guys at my church, and I'm entering into more of our missions pipeline. Yeah, this decision to be able to help my friend by donating the kidney, thankfully didn't like pause my life, but it helped me to focus in like, okay, these are the things that I have right now, and I'm gonna focus in on this. I'm gonna help my friend, I'm gonna serve these students, and I'm gonna work my tail off until we get there. And so waiting, January 21st, I get the call. Hey, next month sound good? Sounds great. February 21st is the day. And to just clarify some things for the viewers, Ashley does not have my kidney. We did an exchange, which is pretty common for those who don't have same blood type, physiological structure. Those are just a couple of reasons for having different people. And I believe we had 8 people involved with our exchange. So we just had a giant mix and match.
So this is very different than what I would have expected. Yeah. When you said, yeah, I'll donate a kidney, you think, yeah, from you to the person who needs it, in this case, Ashley.
Yeah.
But this is probably one of the reasons why it took so long, because there's a lot of coordination that goes on.
Absolutely.
And people getting their samples to the lab correctly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now I understand a little bit more, because a lot of times I have heard stories about people with donated organs, but it's usually from the recipient's point of view.
Yeah.
So this is very different than what I expected.
Yeah.
All right. So you got a whole bunch of people. You're in San Antonio.
Yes. So we're in San Antonio. My mom flew down so that she could drive me back to Waco after the surgery. Throughout the entire time, people would ask if I was nervous or how I was feeling. And I felt so much peace knowing, number one, I'm helping my friend. I'm getting to display the sacrificial love of Jesus of, hey, you can literally rip me open, take out my organ so that my friend can have life. There's just something really special about getting to Romans 12:1 tells us to live as a living sacrifice. And so getting to make a sacrifice like that was just really, it's just so cool to get to display that. And nurses would ask me, oh, why are you doing this? I'm like, I'm trying to display God's love to my friend because I want her to draw closer and I want her to live a long life.
I asked you about moving to Waco.
Yeah.
And you have friends that were very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Ask you about your family. What about when you chose to donate a kidney? Friends and family, what was the response there?
I had a lot of concerned grandparents, I will tell you that. A lot of just a simple question, why? Like I just said, it was like see a need, meet a need. The idea of do for one what you wish you could do for all. And in my life, there's a tool I like to use called the 15-second testimony, just to share my life before Jesus and what he's done in my life now. I say, there was a time in my life when I was selfish and empty. And then I learned about Jesus dying on the cross to pay for my sin so that God could adopt me into his family. And now I live a life that is selfless and fulfilled. It's because of, man, Jesus sacrificed for me. Now I can sacrifice for other people, regardless of whatever it costs me. I can do this so I can best love them. And that's just what I told my family. And it was like, man, I don't know if I could do what you're doing. And if you were to talk to me 6 years ago, I would say the same thing. It's only because God's love has completely changed my life.
And your mom came down. She was in San Antonio. She was helping.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the process then.
Yeah. So that night, picked up my mom. It was February. So Texas is kind of cold at that point. Picked up some food. And my mom, oh, she's a rock star. She is super loving, super kind, super gracious, super funny. And so we don't get to see each other too much. We'll call most days. But it was just really fun getting to hang out with her. We watched a lot of TV, and it was like, oh man, we got to go to bed. We got our early morning. She brought me in. Anytime it comes to me, if I'm doing something slightly more risky, I use air quotes, she gets like, she's in a handbasket. She's super nervous. And so you put me on a table and put a knife to me, and she's just like, okay, deep breaths. And so I'm trying my best to be patient and love her while we're navigating this. And then the moment comes and we're still just doing what we were doing the night before, just being goofy, trying to have as much fun as we can at 5 o'clock in the morning when we're all really tired and I'm about to do something life altering. But again, there was that peace and just being able to talk to the people around me and try to encourage them as best I can.
Tell me about the recovery from this.
Man, I've never been in so much pain in my life. Well, there was a time I broke my arm, but that's a different scenario. Whenever I woke up, I was drugged out of my mind and I was just like, whoa, this is different. I feel super light. I felt a lot of peace. And whenever nurses would come up to me, I wouldn't help but just like randomly just say, God loves you. I've had previous experiences where I had like had a surgery and would just start like fist bumping and hugging people. But this one, I've never gotten up out of that sleep and just start telling the gospel to people. That was really fun. From leaving San Antonio, I was there for a night, and then my mom drove me to Waco the next day. And one of my best friends and his wife, they took care of me for the next 2 months, if you will. My current living situation, I was in an apartment with two really close friends of mine, but it was just like super small, not really conducive for a good recovery environment. But my friends let me stay at their house, and they had me in their guest room, and they took care of me hand and foot. The initial couple of days, it hurt to laugh, which is really tough being around some of my best friends and my mom. And so they would just make me laugh about trying, and I'm just experiencing this like this deep pain in my abdomen area, just like, oh, why are you keep doing this to me? First couple of days, well, first week, really hard to walk. If I tried to like move at all, I just needed help everywhere. Putting clothes on, going to bed, it was very tough. But as the weeks progressed, I got a little bit more momentum. I would start to go outside, go on walks for 5 minutes, then my back would hurt. I'm like, okay, let's wrap it up for today. I'm going back to the couch. But with all of that, getting to be with some of my closest friends in the world, it was super sweet. And despite going through a lot of pain and experiencing a lot of hardship, I had so much fun, which when you think about recovery, you don't really think about fun. But that was God's grace to me. They saw what I was willing to do for somebody else. And they said, okay, even for like one of our best friends, this is no brainer. We can totally take care of you for 2 months. And God was providing for them just like he was providing for me. And it was just so cool to have that be my recovery experience.
So today on the Waco Experience, an American story, we're listening to Nathan Masters, kidney donor, follower of Jesus. Let's end up on some inspiration.
The future, I have no clue what's going to happen. But at this point in my life, I have this desire and passion to work with students, specifically 6th to 12th grade. I have this on one hand, and on the other hand, I have this call that we all have as followers of Jesus to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all I've commanded you to do. And so I am trying to figure out, how do both of these line up? Is it in America? Something that's awesome about being here is we have access to the gospel, but that's not the case for 3.2 billion people across the world in an area that's called the 1040 window. So that's North Africa all the way to East Asia. And so I'm praying, asking God, hey, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go, do whatever you want me to do, anytime, any place for your glory. And what would you have me do? Obviously, there's a lot of other things I got to think about because, you know, when you only have one kidney, you have to most likely choose a place that has good healthcare and all of those things. But also that could be something that God's not asking me to do. He could be asking me to stay here and be a youth pastor and train students to know their purpose in life, which is to know God and to make him known to others, and to teach them how to be able to articulate their faith to other people and then help them potentially go in the future after they're a little bit older. So currently, I'm hands wide open to what God may want to do in my life. He's already done a lot in the last 6 years, so I'm excited to see what we have for the rest of it.
The Waco Experience, an American story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.